The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So just thought to offer a few reflections at the beginning. Something that's been supporting me in my own practice and in meeting what's happening in the world. Something that my mind was kind of fighting with, and then this reflection supported my mind to kind of have a little more space around it. So well, there's so much question around what's true in our world right now. You know, what's who's right, who's wrong, what's true, what's false. And my mind gets into that place of kind of like trying to figure out that, and you know, and realizing that there may be no way that I can know, you know, what the actual truth is. I have beliefs around it, but I can't really know. Somebody maybe could figure it out. And certainly there is a place in our culture and in our world to try to understand what has happened, you know, what has actually happened. And we hopefully have processes by which we've agreed that we can navigate it and come to some kind of an agreement. Well, we think this is what's happened. But I'm not sure we can ever really clearly, definitively say, in many situations, perhaps we can say, yes, you know, I stepped off the curb, you know, and no, yes, that is what happened. But in some of these more complex social kinds of things, you know, the truth may be really hard to get to. And I found my mind getting really caught in this loop around what's true, what's true. And then I remembered what I offered the reflection. You know, I remember what I offered in the reflection for the guided meditation. What's true? Let's look at what's true in terms of what's true in the moment. What's the truth of this experience right now? The truth of the experience right now is that the mind is spinning, trying to figure something out. That's the truth of the moment. And it's not a truth that's related to content of thoughts or ideas of views. It's a truth that's connected to what's arising. What is this experience that's arising? And I see in my own mind, when I realize that my mind is kind of caught trying to figure out propositional truth. My mind is caught trying to figure out, you know, are these statements true, or are these statements true? You know, or thoughts in my mind, you know, are these thoughts in my mind true? That there's a difference between perhaps looking at the truth of thoughts from the perspective of the truth of a thought from a Dharma perspective, we could just say perhaps is that it is arising in the moment. That it is perhaps coming, arising with some emotional resonances. That this thought is arising with frustration or confusion or delight or joy. That it's kind of a different kind of truth. So I think that the truth that really the Buddha points us to, the truth that he's asking us to understand, is not so much a truth of propositions and, you know, is the statement that you know, suffering arises in this chain of dependent origination, is that true or not? I think the Buddha offered statements as useful more than as this is something that is true and you should believe it. It's more like this is a useful statement to reflect on, to put into investigation, to see what's going on in your experience. So I think that there's a different perspective that the practice and the teachings offer on what is true. And for me, when I remember that, it really helps me to have a different relationship to all of the kind of truth that my mind kind of spins around. Not that that's not important. You know, in our culture, in our world, we have to have some way to navigate that stuff and to speak about it, hopefully not with contentiousness, hopefully with some measure of understanding that people will be understanding things from different perspectives and there'll be different views and ideas about what happened. I love that film, Rashomon. Have any of you heard of that film, Rashomon? It's by the Japanese director, Akira Kurosawa, one of my favorite film directors. And he did this film about an incident that happened. And he showed the incident three or four times, I think. And the incident was shown from different people's perspective, what they saw, what they reported, you know. And you know, it's like nobody agreed exactly, but you could kind of see maybe what had happened by looking at all the different perspectives that were offered on the situation. And that's kind of where we have to navigate from in our conventional lives. And for me, remembering that the truth of the moment for me is, okay, so there's this, let's put it in the context of a conversation or a place where there's disagreement about something. It's like, okay, well, the truth of this moment is, here's what's arising for me right now. Here, for my experience, this is the truth of the moment. And that helps me to navigate a relationship. So that kind of framing of this is what's true in this experience, in this being, not from the idea of propositional truth, but this is what's true. This is the truth of what's arising. When the mind can land with that, there's so much more space for curiosity around an investigation of different views and different ideas. And okay, so this is what's true for me, what's true for you, you know. So yeah, I just wanted to offer that, and that's about all I've got. So as I said earlier, you know, I'd really love to hear from you, you know, what's up for you, and if anything I said is interesting and you want to reflect on that, that's fine, but I'm also happy to just, you know, let that go and see what's here, you know. What's up for you? That was something that was a little bit up for me early in the month and later when I came out of retreats. Any comments?
I felt very fortunate to have been on retreat with Gil and Paul Haller. And then I extended it for another week just in a self-retreat. And so I missed... the election had happened, but I missed I didn't miss all of it because it's still going on, but it just feels to me, and I see that you and Gil are doing something about, first I thought you were going to do it in Concord, but it's about Concord, or
yes.
How we can speak
promoting
to each
unity
other.
And Concord. Yeah, that'll start in January. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's great, because I think, you know, it feels to me like I don't really, the kind of odd thing is I'm in some touch now with my brother. I've been out of touch with him for about 30 years, and I think he's totally, we've just gone in totally different directions. So I've been saying, I wish I knew a Republican, you know, because all of my friends are kind of cut out of the same.
Yeah, we get in our little bubbles, you know.
Exactly.
We all get in our little bubbles, yeah.
So I may have my wish cut out for me in that my own family have somebody that represents the other side. But we haven't really got to talking about that yet. So I'm very interested in what you're doing in January. I will be there for sure.
Yeah. You know, there's some interesting places and resources to support things like this. There's there's Living Room Conversations, which I think I've mentioned in this group before. But I also noticed recently there's this website called All Sides. I think I've also mentioned the website, which kind of brings in, you know, different perspectives on news stories and lets you know where they're coming from. But they also have a Connect menu thing. You can click on this Connect thing, and it takes you to a place where it says, you know, if you'd like to have a conversation with somebody about something challenging, you know, you can sign up and you can invite whoever you want into your own conversation. So you don't have to like wait for something to start or join. And I thought that sounds really intriguing. You know, so, you know, you could check that out and see, because they do a kind of a little bit of a guiding, maybe giving you suggested questions. I've not tried it yet, but.
You said All Sides?
All Sides is the website. Yeah.
You know, I went to some of those living room conversation things, one of the training classes, and it's interesting. I heard about it independently. I didn't remember you talking about it, but. It's kind of interesting. I think it has a disadvantage of Zoom. I think it, like anything, it's going to be better when people can actually meet each other.
Meet each other in person. Yeah. Yeah, Ali.
Yeah, as you were saying, it's interesting. Actually, as reflecting on a while back, not now, what is the truth? And then what I had actually, somebody suggested that it's like a, really like it. It's like a, they're saying it's like a big chandelier has broken down, has fallen down and broken to many different pieces, and everybody's got a little piece of it. So that's the collective of the big, you know. But given that, you know, in this from the side that I come in, it's just like hard not to kind of hold and say like my truth is like this, and kind of like cling to, you know, whatever I believe. Whenever it actually comes down to the social issues, it's like deeply held belief.
I think what's useful,
listening to somebody else. Go ahead.
I think what can be useful with those deeply held beliefs is to think back on, like, I had this example. Somebody in one of the classes said, you know, I think it's like to the point where it's so hard to have a conversation because it's like somebody saying this is red and somebody saying it's green. And like, what do you do? And so, you know, I thought about this a little bit, and, you know, I thought change the example a little bit, where it maybe is a little bit more closer to what might be going on. It's like, you know, when in this culture, and many cultures actually, it's pretty widespread. When we see red, we think stop. When we see green, we think go. And that's pretty deeply conditioned in us. Mm. That, you know, so red means stop, green means go. And I just thought, you know, maybe, you know, there could possibly be some culture where it's the opposite. You know, green means stop and red means go. And that could create conflict. It's like, well, how can you think green means stop, you know, green obviously means go. and you know, it's like, well, how or why, you know, why do I think red means stop and green means go? Well, I was told that, you know, okay, this is our convention, you know, it seems like, okay, so this is the convention. It's like, but then thinking a little further, why is that the convention? Well, I don't know. You know, I came up with this idea like, well, maybe it's the convention because fire is hot. You know, fire is red and fire is hot and you want to stay away from fire. And, you know, so, okay, maybe that's where it came from. I don't know. And, you know, then potentially in a conversation with somebody, you know, it's like, well, okay, you know, this is interesting. You think green means stop, and I think red means stop. How did that happen? You know, in your culture, what is it about green that, you know, it means stop? And maybe that person might say something like, well, we have a lot of poisonous plants and we have to be really careful when we walk on the paths not to be touched by these green plants. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's like green is like warning. so to get under why we have our views. Not just that we have them. So yeah, this is my view. I have this view. Where did it come from? You know, okay, well, you know, some of it is just what I was shaped with, you know, some of it just what I've been told and believed. And but what are the deeper values that kind of inform that? And what are the emotions connected to it? So kind of doing an inner investigation for ourselves of, why do I have this view? Instead of just say, and it's useful too to recognize, okay, it is a view, you know, that this is something that is, it's a view. Is it actually truth with the capital T, like this is what's arising? It's a different kind of thing, right? So you know, it could be just really interesting to do that kind of inner exploration around your own views. And that might help you to be curious then around, well, how did somebody else come to their view? So, you know, that's just something to reflect on. And it's not easy. I think it's not easy. But I think something that also is helpful to remember, you know, so in the bigger picture, kind of like, all of us have been conditioned to our views. There's a reason why we have the views that we have. And, you know, that's kind of essentially what I'm talking about looking at. It's like, well, what are the conditions that led to this view? And it's useful, I think, in the conventional world and the conventional trying to navigate these things to understand that so that it can be articulated and explained. And we can perhaps come back to maybe something more foundational. Like I'd say many of us probably have our views and they're kind of based, if we go back, they're based in what makes me feel safe. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of come back to that, and on both on different sides of a perspective, the for all people, all sides of the perspective, it's probably going to come back to that sense of safety somehow, and so mm-hmm. this perspective is articulating. Well, this is how and why I would feel safe. This view is what's making me feel like I'll be okay. And if we can remember that there's that foundation of wanting that safety, you know, that's the meta foundation, right? That's the foundation. We all want to be safe. We all want to be happy. We can remember we have that shared foundation and that we've just got all these different conditions that have led us from that foundation of wanting safety to construct different edifices that make us think we'll feel safe and that is all conditioned. You know, again, I feel like that understanding of the process, this is the process by which we've come to be who we are. Again, that's closer to the truth of this is what's arising in this moment. This is what's arising in this moment is conditioned based on all these historical things that have happened. And that has created this condition. And so if we can remember, I think even just remembering that these views are conditioned is helpful for me. Not even needing to know what all the conditions are or how somebody got there, but that it is conditioned gives me some space to remembering that it is conditioned gives me some space to hold different perspectives. Anything more you want to say, Ali?
Then nothing. I was very useful, but that came up the other day in the conversation. I was just kept talking, and I'm just bringing out different types of views that or conditioning. Then I always ended at I'm not sure. And I think that's, and then they were saying that you keep saying these things, and then you're saying, I'm not sure. And that is actually the truth, because I was trying to, we can't be sure of anything, you know? I mean, like, we're just basically on the views, but then the opposite also, there is like some truth in the opposite also.
Yes. So
whatever view I'm holding.
That's exactly where I was kind of getting stuck. It's like, you know, I was coming back to, well, you know, who knows? This is what it sounds like happened, but I'm not sure. I don't have the information to really confirm that. And then I remembered, okay, well, let's, you know, in the practice world, deciding this is true or that is true is not where the practice lands. It is understanding this is the truth of what's arising. And it's like, oh, right, that's what I come back to. Confusion, uncertainty, that's what's happening right now. And then there was some space. It didn't answer the question that I had. You know, I couldn't answer, I couldn't become sure. But I could have some ease about uncertainty. And that's a different experience. You know, to have a sense of, I don't have to have the absolute answer or kind of, we think we need to know what is that answer? What is right? What is wrong? Is my view wrong? You know, if my view is wrong, I want to have the right view. You know, I want to have the right answer. And we tie ourselves in knots instead of understanding that, you know, that there are, I think it's your example of the chandelier is beautiful. You know, we all have different pieces. It's very like the elephant story from the Buddha, you know, that each person touching a part of the elephant got a piece of the picture. And if they decided to come together and compare notes as opposed to saying, no, an elephant's this way, not that way. Just like the piece of this is the right piece of the chandelier. Your piece of the chandelier doesn't fit. It's like, well, if we actually looked at how it all fit together, we might come up with a different perspective, a broader perspective. But that's hard. It is hard.
As you were talking, I was just like thinking about the jobs of the lawyers. That's their job, is to convince more convincing point of view.
Yes.
For more majority of the people.
Yeah, and that's what I meant when I said earlier, you know, we have systems in place to hopefully come up with, you know, it's like in courts of law, we have to try to do the best we can to decide what was true about a situation. Mm-hmm. We can't really know, but, you know, we do the best we can with looking at what's going on. Yeah, Eugene. So she raised your hand. So, yeah.
I'm just reminded of a phrase of Pema Chodron uses where she says that it's groundlessness, that there is groundlessness, there's nothing to really hold on to that is super firm and reliable, and especially with the outside world.
And there's so much suffering that happens by trying to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And it's not hold-onable.
Yeah, there's a lot of unreliability. There's a idiom, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And some truths of the outside world, it's like, if I believe taxes should be higher, that causes stress and suffering and, you know, has its complications. If I think taxes should be lower, that has, you know, so it's, there's some things where it's a thicket if I find for myself, if I get too involved with those things, which are often about the rest of the world needs to see things the same way I want them to see things.
Yes. We become interested in deciding which one is the right way, mm-hmm. as opposed to it's different ways in, and each one will have its conditions and its effects. It will affect some people this way, it will affect other people this way, and how do we balance this or weigh it off? And you know, more like the court of law, can we kind of like have a conversation about it instead of just like holding to those? You know, we have to do this in our cultures, in our world, in the outside world, but I think we do have to remember that there isn't a firm landing ground there, like you say. It's, you know, it's kind of a recipe for real suffering to try to get the firm landing ground in that outer world. Yeah. Thank you for raising that. Yankui.
By the way, Andrea, thank you for returning. It's so nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
So I took the truth to a somewhat a different realm. I think it's because it's coming to a time where I'm aware of how busy I've been and how overwhelming, you know, the last few months been, and so much been going so much and so fast and too much too fast. And it's also the end of the year, and so I'm practicing resting and taking space to feel, to see. So what the truth that's coming up for me is the truth of that direct experience. What's the impact of all the added,
yes,
the rage, the views, the back and forth? How is this body being sitting with that? And you know, and the seasonal change, the transition, and how it's, you know, to connect with that. So I feel like it's also the truth is for me, it's expanding. It's sort of unfolding, expanding as I relax more and making space for what's here.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful way to describe it. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, finding what the single thing is. It can definitely be, you know, what's true can be a wide variety of experiences. And what you describe is very much a looking at, you know, what's true. How is this being now in this moment based on all these conditions? And, you know, so that is definitely looking. And it can feel very big and it can feel very expansive. How did it affect you to have that perspective in the meditation?
It feels very supportive, like a good friend saying, oh yeah, remember who you are. remember to open up, to remember and take. It's like a good friend saying, yeah, it's okay. It's time to rest, time to take space. It is winter. Just remembering that there's a natural change happening. And I can get so caught up in the busyness and there's a violence of, you know, the busyness of, I could get so caught up in that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it feels very comforting and nourishing. And I'm just, and this is also something I've been thinking about and planning, and I'm thinking how in my own personal life, I really don't have time for it. I don't have the space. Even if there was no COVID, I can't really go away for like a 3-month retreat. But I mean, really thinking seriously about how to have a retreat life or mind at home in the conditions I have here, and how to shape that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's something I've been leaning towards these days.
Yeah. I mean, some of the online retreats can support that, you know, they can be just a little piece each day. So you could look at some of those. You know, I'll be offering one that's kind of ideal for that at the end of, I think it's the end of February. It'll be just one main session each day in the morning time in California, the morning time. and then there'll be an optional afternoon session, but you know, it'll be like, I think it's an hour and a half or something in the morning, just to kind of start your day with some reflections and topics and just orienting towards being present in your home, in your life. In so that one might be I don't know what your schedule is. You know, it's always difficult to navigate if you have certain commitments at certain times, but
yeah. Oh, thank you. It feels like a refuge, just leaning towards or just sort of going to the, to seeing what's true, like seeing what's true, what's really here.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what it did for me too. You know, it's kind of like, oh, that's what's true. And it is kind of a refuge and gave a sense of, oh, that's what's going on. I don't have to like try to make something else happen. This is what's true. Yeah. Thank you. It's time to stop. So thank you all. Really lovely to see you again.